It's the Sabbath, the holiest day of the week, and we find Jesus engaging in a Sabbath meal. It's a meal at the home of a prominent Pharisee, a very religious man, deeply devoted to keeping the law and the rules concerning the Sabbath. There were other Pharisees present and other experts in the law, and Luke tells us that they were carefully watching Jesus. No doubt they were watching Jesus to see if he would say something or do something that would get him into trouble. You would think that Jesus would be careful with all of them carefully watching him, but not our Lord. He immediately heals a man, and then he criticizes the way all the guests sought out the best seats at the table. The best seats are not those near Jesus, but those near to the prominent Pharisee throwing the party. I want to focus on verses 7 through 14 this morning. Jesus tells this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding celebration, don't take your seat in the place of honor. Someone more highly regarded than you could have been invited by your host. The host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give your seat to this other person." Embarrassed, you will take your seat in the least important place. Instead, when you receive an invitation, go and sit in the least important place. When your host approaches you, he will say, "Friend, move up to a better seat." Then you will be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. All who lift themselves up will be brought low, and all those who make themselves low will be lifted up. Now that's good practical wisdom that Jesus shares with the people at that banquet, but it also illustrates a deep truth of Christianity. Those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. That deep truth is hard for us to understand and hard for us to accept. We believe in upward mobility. We want our children to live better lives than we have. We admire people who strive for wealth and status and then succeed. Upward mobility is part of the American dream. Did you ever watch the TV show The Jeffersons? I know I'm dating myself here. It was a comedy about an African-American family striving to live out the American dream of upward mobility. They had a very catchy theme song. Now, I won't try to sing it, but it's a very catchy theme song. Well, we're moving on up to the east side, to a deluxe apartment in the sky. Moving on up to the east side. We finally got a piece of the pie. Don't we all want to move on up? Wealth, status, influence, power. We say of people who have moved on up, "He or she has done well. They are living the good life. They have succeeded in following their dreams and achieving those dreams." We almost always use that phrase, "They have done well for themselves." My brother did well for himself. Most of you know my brother Ted died almost two years ago now. He got a law degree from Syracuse University, and he'd always loved politics, so he decided to go to the place of power for politics, Washington, D.C. He served as a lowly intern for a congresswoman, I believe, but then he worked his way up, serving as a staffer for one congressional representative after another, and finally he got his big break. He was asked to serve as legal counsel and floor whip for the Speaker of the House, Denny Hester. Now that is the very seat of power in Congress, the Speaker of the House. everything goes through the Speaker of the House. Ted served in that position for many years, and it was a position of power and influence. As part of his duties, he was in charge of security for the whole House, for all of Congress, actually. He was instrumental in building the magnificent visitor center of Congress. Ted knew all kinds of congressional representatives and senators. And one year, he even made the list of the 100 most influential people in Washington, D.C. My brother did very well for himself. His ambition paid off. But Jesus calls us to go a different path. Jesus calls us to downward mobility, not upward mobility. He asks us to humble ourselves, to simply become a lowly servant of God. Now, this is not to diminish what my brother did. I believe he was able to live a life of humble servanthood even while serving in a position of power. But those positions of influence and status are dangerous for us. Many Christians think that they must become a pastor to serve the Lord. Now, there's usually not much salary for pastors, but there is a certain amount of status. Most people, not all, and I've experienced that, most people respect the pastor. Some even idolize their pastor, which is wrong. But we are not to seek a position of status in the kingdom of God. God must call us to whatever position He wants us to serve. And God calls all of us to be ministers. All of us. We all have gifts that we can use for ministry. And we can serve God powerfully through those gifts. Sometimes, and I believe this with all my heart, that being a layperson, we can serve the Lord more effectively than being a pastor. And I know some pastors long to serve larger churches because there is more status, more power involved. And that is wrong. We must not seek a position of higher prestige or power. We are tempted with that ambition to move on up. But God calls us to move down. It goes against our instincts, but God calls us to go down, to humble ourselves. For when we humble ourselves, someday God will exalt us and lift us up to positions of glory. One of the dangers of moving on up, and we live in a kind of artificial world, a bubble of status and influence and power. We're surrounded by like-minded people who have the same influence and power. And we are isolated then from the needs of the world. Jesus says this to his host: when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters or relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back and you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Who among us has ever done that? Have you ever thrown a party and invited the poor, the crippled, the lame to come to your party? Maybe you have, but I think that is pretty rare. We invite our friends, like-minded people. And sometimes we are looking for an invitation back, or maybe a favor that a friend might do for us in the future. There's perks to knowing the people of status and influence. I don't think we need to take this literally, that we should invite the poor and the needy to a banquet. I think Jesus is simply telling us to reach out to the poor and the needy and help them. I believe he wants to be generous to all those who are needy among us, to serve the homeless in the shelters, to feed the hungry who are out on the streets, to visit the prisoner and be a friend to the lonely. God calls us not to live by the values of this world, but to live in Jesus' world, to live as Jesus lived. We must obey the topsy-turvy teachings that Jesus gives us, those teachings that turn the values of this world upside down. If we exalt ourselves, we will be humbled. But if we humble ourselves, God will exalt us. Bless the poor and the needy. Give to those who are hungry and thirsty. Share your banquet of plenty with them. You may not be repaid in this life, but in the resurrection of the righteous, you will be repaid with overflowing, abundant blessings. Would you join me in prayer? Lord Jesus, you give us such radical teachings, but you live them yourself. Help us to truly follow your example, Lord, and seek the place of a lowly servant in your kingdom. And help us, Lord, to reach out to the poor and the needy and the hurting in this world, sharing the love that you have given us with everyone we can. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.